Are you the kind of person that ever gets pulled in the wrong direction? A lot of us find ourselves at one time or another kind of pulled in the wrong direction. We do the thing we don't want to do, as Paul would say it. We find ourselves easily drifting to the right or to the left, and it can cause a problem for us sometimes in our life. I was reminded of one of those early cars that I had first learning to drive, and we had an old beater. It was an AMC Spirit. I managed to put a few dents in that car along the way. I think I actually did it in the end, but that's another story. But it had a problem. In the beginning, it seemed to drive just fine, but a few tours down dusty, pothole-ridden country roads and maybe hitting a curb a time or two and a few potholes, it started pulling hard to the right. Now, as a kid, I didn't realize what that meant. I thought, oh man, I've broke the car, so I'm not going to tell Dad. So I just kept driving it, and it kept getting worse and worse, and it got to where you actually kind of physically had to give some real muscle to get it to turn the way you wanted. Well, one Saturday, my dad took the car to go get the oil changed, and he said, son, this thing is really out of alignment. And he opened my eyes to the fact that cars can be realigned. And of course, he had the car realigned, and after that happened, the car drove much better. Well, sometimes I think in our lives we find ourselves going along and we hit a few potholes in life and face some challenges, and even though we didn't intend for it to happen, we find ourselves kind of being pulled off the path, as it was, and moving in a direction counter to the direction that God might want us to be on. And so every now and then, perhaps we need to take some time to realign ourselves and get back in line with what God has for us. And I think what will happen is when we do that, we begin to say, hey, wow, this thing works pretty well. This plan God has is a good plan. And life is actually a little better and easier even when I stick to it. Now, I say that with this understanding that what I'm going to ask us to do is try to align ourselves up with God's plan. But it's easy for me to say that. It's hard for me to always do that. And maybe that's the same thing for you. Some of you know this. Some of you have known her for a dozen years and don't know this. But my niece, who is staying with us while she takes a year of school, is cognitively challenged, a special needs person with a lot of challenges that she faces. And among those are the fact she's had a number of seizures. Perhaps she suffered from malnutrition, even child abuse growing up in Africa. One of those things that she's prone to is to chanting when she gets upset. She might say, Craig, Tina, Steve. She just calls out names when she gets kind of overwhelmed. So when she came to my house, having listened to that chanting for 10 years or more of my life, I was determined to try to have some positive impact to realign her, as it were, in what she chants about, since none of those people can do anything to help her, right, in the moment. Craig, Tina, so I came up with this ingenious idea that I would teach her to say the fruits of the Spirit when she got upset. Love, joy, peace, patience, and so on and so forth. And we would practice it. And every time something stressful would happen, she would start to chant. I would say that. And she would start, and about the third or fourth word of the fruits of the Spirit, she would smile. Began to really bring her the thing that we wanted to bring her. I thought, man, your preacher is a genius. Isn't he? He had just solved that problem. It was so good. I told her what she should do. She did it, and life is just great. So 2 weeks ago or so, my family was sitting out in the lobby. They were sitting there waiting as I was greeting people. And I came back in. The last people had left, and we were talking about lunch. And as we were there, Ness spilled her coffee on the floor. All over the floor. Immediately, since I'm kind of like our new carpets and all those things. And I went into this, panic mode, and I'm chanting to myself, get the napkins, get the paper towels, get the vac, right? And she turns to me in my chanting, and she says, love, joy, peace. Well done, well done. Realignment. She was calling me to realignment. Man, realignment is important. It's a concept that we need to all think about, because it's really not that hard for us to get knocked out of line, off track. And so it's important, it's good for us to kind of take some time. And so for these next few weeks, we're going to look at some strategies, some things we can do that kind of help us to focus in the right direction. And focus is an important part of alignment, right? It's getting things all moving towards the same point, the same direction. And so for us as Christians, obviously, We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? The author and the finisher of our faith. We're going to get our focus right if we want to have the proper alignment. Well, one of the characters in the Bible that I've always just appreciated so much is the Apostle Paul. And man, does God take extraordinary steps to say, I got to get you in line. And you know the account, right? He was the persecutor of the church. He was a killer of Christians. And God got a hold of him and got his attention and gave him a realignment, as it were, and got him focused on Jesus. Paul talks about that in some interesting terms. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at this just for a few moments this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put their confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he starts by looking at what he used to be, when he was maybe even thinking he was in line, but discovering he was out of line in some ways. As for confidence in the flesh, he says, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am of the people of Israel. Indeed, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, I even persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, keeping every detail of the law, I was faultless. He says, the way I used to live my life, the way I saw things, it was all lined up in one direction, and I thought it was just perfect. It speaks to something I want to say, and that is, right, we can get so used to the car pulling to the right or to the left that we just accept it as the right thing or as the normal thing. And that can happen to all of us in our relationship with Christ, in our relationships with others. Flaws can exist for so long we just accept them as the new normal and we begin to live with them. Paul had come to embrace this life that he had lived, and he had thought that was the best thing that he could do. And it's hard for us to be honest enough with God and open enough with God to say, God, I kind of like the way my life's going, but I give you permission to wreck it, to put it on a whole new course. That's just not an easy prayer to pray. Lord, wreck my life today. Put it in a whole new direction. I want to follow you instead of myself. That's a hard prayer. Paul says, as for that old life, I thought I was living it beautifully. I thought I was doing everything right. But then he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider all of that loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Paul says, when I came to Jesus, my life had a new, distinct focus. It changed everything else. All that other stuff is rubbish. I consider it loss. The only thing that matters now in my life is being focused on Jesus Christ. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Did you catch that phrase, not having a righteousness of my own? I bet that resonates with a lot of us. I mean, when we look at our lives, we probably don't see, like Paul did, all these things everyone thought were great and good. A lot of us see something very different in our lives. A lot of us imagine ourselves, even as we hear this sermon, thinking, well, that's really great for someone like the Apostle Paul. He was smart. He was well-educated. He was a leader. And God could do that work in his life. But you don't know what my life is like, preacher. And it's different. And I have these challenges that I have faced. How could God possibly use me? How could he line me out and put me in a direction that matters to the kingdom? As we think about that, sometimes I have to be honest, right? Some of you who know me best know these qualities exist in me. At times I procrastinate. That is, I put things off till the pressure gets really big. And when the pressure is really big, somehow then I get super energized to finish a task. It's annoying to my wife and those people who work with me. They just don't enjoy that part of me. The tech team goes crazy when I hand them a disc 5 minutes before I preach. Those are some fatal flaws that I have. If you know me well, you'll know that despite the fact that I can do excellent on exams and write papers, that my memory at times isn't what I'd like for it to be. I can forget appointments or forget people. It's a curse that I carry. And above all those other things, I have that squirrel ADD thing going on, right? I have it terrible. I mean, it's a horrific problem in my life. I have to really work on it. And some of you have experienced, I'll be talking to one person and some other situation goes by, I just turn and I just thought I lose track where I was. And I was like, boy, that was really rude. What's he doing today? In spite of all that stuff, 17 and a half years ago, when my wife and I got on our knees before the Lord and said, God, what direction are we supposed to follow? Where are we supposed to be? What's supposed to happen? And he said, come to Ogleville. And he made it pretty clear this is where we're supposed to be. And in spite of all the weaknesses that your preacher has, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, God enabled us to come and to do some good things here. And in fact, I hate to say this, right? I attracted some of y'all are just like me. And check this out. God uses us to do incredible stuff. We don't have a righteousness of our own. It's not because of our own great abilities. In fact, it's in spite of our liabilities, right? In spite of our liabilities, God still does something great through us when we align ourselves with his plan. Incidentally, when we get off of that alignment or out of that alignment, then we struggle and the church struggles. The kingdom struggles. So it's important for us, like Paul, to say, I want to have these moments of alignment. He says it this way in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press hold to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You know, there is an enemy to realignment. There are a couple, and I would talk about them briefly this morning. And one of the very first ones of those enemies of realignment is guilt and discouragement. This idea that I feel bad about the past, I am overwhelmed by my mistakes, I get discouraged. Some of you hear a sermon like this, and it's exciting to think about realigning, but you know yourself. You have tried to lose weight, and you were faithful to your diet for about 3 weeks, but the fourth week you wrecked it, and that was the end of the diet. You were going to do good at budgeting, and you went through the Dave Ramsey course, and you followed it faithfully for a month or maybe even two, but then some challenges came, and you just gave up. You abandoned the plan. It's human nature, you might say, and a lot of us have been there. We are easily discouraged. Discouragement is an enemy of realignment. It would have been easy for the Apostle Paul to be discouraged. And it would be easy for us to be discouraged as well because we start off strong, but over time we fail to live out the change we're attempting to make. Why is it? Because we become discouraged. But Paul is constantly looking to God as a source of encouragement. And understand this about God. God is not waiting for you to fail to say, oh, I knew they couldn't do it. Quite the opposite. When we do fail, he's there saying, come on, you can do this. And we can do it together. He is sometimes the voice saying to you, love, joy, peace, hang in there. We'll get through this together. So Paul has this great statement, right? Forgetting what is behind. And I know there are some that are racked with guilt because of the past. And I know some of the pasts in this room, some sad, tragic stuff in the past. Not the kind of stuff that necessarily builds you up or builds up others. Take a lesson from Paul. Learn from the past, but don't let it jeopardize your future. Then he goes on and he says this, I forget what is behind, and I press toward what is ahead. I strain toward what is ahead. I press on in verse 14 toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on toward a goal. Paul understood another challenge that we face today that keeps us from alignment, and that is the challenge of distraction. If discouragement is the first enemy, distraction is the second. And a lot of us aren't distracted by all the evil of the world. Some of us are distracted by the good things in the world. I mean, there are lots of good things out there. I'm chief among those of people who love to go watch a football game or have my kids in sports or to do all of those things that happen. They're good things. There's nothing wrong with watching your kid in the flag football field. There's nothing wrong with going to the ball game. There's nothing wrong with those things. They're good things. There's nothing wrong with taking your family boating or fishing. There's nothing wrong with it. They're good. They're good things to do. But the problem is sometimes we can get so caught up in the good things that happen in life that we don't take time to do the great things that God has for us. We miss out on the very best things that He has. We sacrifice the best for the good. And that's a challenge. It's a matter of distraction. So Paul would, I think, say to us, press on, work hard to strain for the very best things that God has for us. The good things are nice, but don't let them distract you from the best that God has. Someone has explained distraction this way. It's what keeps us from the best that's before us. And in Paul's day, the false teachers were frequently doing this with this statement. It was one of legalism that said, this was their equation, Jesus plus something else is what you need to have. Jesus plus observing all the legal codes of Judaism. Jesus plus embracing the deities of Rome. Jesus plus fill in the blank is what I need to have. This is why Paul will say, Christ alone. All I need is Jesus. I guess I would conclude my thoughts this morning this way. It's a story, a section of the book. It's taken from the book, The Cure for a Troubled Heart. It was written by Ron Mell. Ron writes, I heard once about a dear saintly old woman who was gradually losing her memory. Details began to blur. However, throughout her life, this woman had cherished and depended upon the Word of God. And she had committed to memory many verses from her well-worn King James Bible. Her favorite verse had always been 2 Timothy 1:12, For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. As the years wore on, this saintly woman was confined to a bed in a nursing home. When she went there, her family sadly knew she would never leave alive. As they visited with her in the following months, she would still quote verses of Scripture, especially 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. But the passing of time, as it came along, even parts of this well-loved verse began to slip away. And she would simply say, I know whom I have believed. He is able to keep what I have committed to him. Her voice grew weaker, and the verse became even shorter. When they would lean in, she would whisper the words, What I have committed to him. Mel writes that as she was dying, her voice became so faint that her family members had to put their ear right up against her lips to hear what she was saying. And at the end of her life, there was only one word that was left on her lips, and she said it with her dying breaths over and over. Him. 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 It was all that she had left. It was all that she needed. And he is all that we need. Amen? Amen. Let us realign our lives on him. Let's pray. Dear God, as we come this morning, we come as people recognizing that we can be pulled in the wrong direction. our priorities can run afoul or askew of your will, and we find ourselves easily pulled off the path. Today, as we begin to commit ourselves to realignment, we pray that you will show us your will for us, your good, pleasing, and perfect will, that you will help us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I pray, Father, that you will pull us back into line, in accordance, in alignment with your word, with your will, and with your way. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. It may be that you're here this morning and you've never yet given your life to Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, friends, if that's your circumstance, you're pulling hard in a direction and it's not a direction that leads to life or to joy or to peace or to love or any of those things we described. It's pulling you in a direction that leads to something very different. If you want to align yourself today, part of that realignment means making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do it as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation.